So our series that we're in is called Transform. We're just about done with this series. I hope that God has been speaking to you and you've been open to hear what he has for you during this time. This is about looking into our lives and seeing how our lives can be transformed by the gospel of Christ. So today, we're going to be talking about this idea of overcoming fear and... I'm just noticing on the screen we're missing the last word. Sorry. So if you're watching the screen, fear and anxiety. So as mine starts to rise right here as I look at the screen. Anyway, so as we were talking about, we're going to talk about fear and anxiety. Talked to somebody else about that. I said, if all we were talking about was fear and anxiety, it'd be pretty easy. Talking about overcoming, it's a whole other issue. But I want to start with just talking about some fears, some common fears. So I did some looking up this week, and I was actually doing some research on some phobias, okay? So there's a list out there of about 100 common phobias. Let me list some of the ones on this common phobia list that I think are maybe just a little bit obscure, but maybe you can relate to some of these. So they all have these really cool names, which I'm not even going to try to pronounce. So instead, we're just going to say that phobia is the fear of something, okay? They put a really cool name in front of that, but we're not going to talk about that. So the fear of, here's a couple common ones, okay? The fear of gravity. I'm not sure. People, if you can stand your whole, put your hand up if you want to say these are yours. How about the fear of snow? This is a common phobia, okay? 100 different common phobias. A fear of snow. A fear of peanut butter. Okay, maybe if you're allergic, I could understand that. I'm still a little confused. How about this one? The fear of air. This is actual on the list. The fear of flowers. The fear of books. Okay. I knew that. I knew that was going to affect somebody. Fear of colors. The fear of the figure eight. One more, and this one's actually probably a little more common for at least our younger folks, the fear of being without your mobile phone. That's actually a phobia out there. Well, the list goes on. It includes some more common ones that we are probably all more familiar with, like the fear of public speaking, which I'm currently experiencing right now. That was a little more common. But that helps us get a sense of our fears, and you know what I'm talking about. But to help us get that a little bit more, I have some pictures that I want to show you. Now, I want to give you a warning before we put these pictures on the screen. Some of these may stir something up inside of you that might not feel real pleasant. So you don't have to look at them for very long. You just look and see what it is, and you can close your eyes, whatever you think. But that's up to you. So let's try to look at a couple pictures here real quick. Let's put the first picture up there. This is a pretty common picture. You've probably seen this before. Steel workers working high above a city, eating their lunch out on a beam like this. Does that make anybody start to get a little bit antsy when you see that? Okay, a couple of people. Okay, these next couple of pictures, I'm actually going to ask you to participate. I'm going to put some slides up here, and then if you're willing to be vulnerable enough to actually just say, this is me, I just want you to raise your hand on this, okay? If you just close your eyes and scream, we'll already know that you're part of it, okay? So let's put the next picture up. Okay, that's me right there. All right. Okay, how about the next one? Okay, I got a few of you. All right, that's fear of spiders. Okay, how about this one? Oh, wow. Here's another one. Fear of snakes. Okay, got it. Yep, that's a lot. Okay, we take that down now. Go ahead, next one. How about this one? Anybody want to admit the fear of clouds? Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. So for many of us, just even viewing these pictures kind of make us uncomfortable. They cause a reaction inside of us that's a little bit unsettling. And we may call that fear, but even more appropriately is probably called anxiety. But I think we can all relate to what it feels like to feel those effects in us, those effects of fear, those effects of anxiety in our lives. As a matter of fact, fear and anxiety are such an issue for the human race that the most common command, or the most common command in the Bible is some form of do not fear or do not be afraid. That's the most common form, common command in the Bible. That should say a lot to us about who we are and where fear and being afraid kind of sits in our life. So it might be helpful if we had just put some definitions on this a little bit. So this might just help to break it down just a little bit. Fear, so here's what fear is. It's an emotional response to a real or perceived immediate threat. Okay, an emotional response to a real or perceived immediate threat. Anxiety is very, very similar, except for one word. An emotional response to a real or perceived future threat. So anxiety is this whole idea of, I may not be in fear, it's not immediately to me, but it's coming. It's that idea of worry. Okay, that's where anxiety tends to fit more in. So I think we can all agree that we have and do experience fear and anxiety from time to time. I think we can also agree that it's probably different. It comes in different intensities. It comes in different regularities. For some, it might be intermittent. For others, it might be more consistent. But we all have to deal with it. And now some of us might even say that we don't have to deal with it, that we don't have fear. Maybe we don't have an anxiety. And that could be true, but in some cases, we also need to look at the fact that it might be covered by something else. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit later. But for right now, what I want to get into is that there's a lot of different definitions out there for anxiety and types of fear and the way they get classified. But I like this one that kind of to put it down into simple terms. I think it was probably the simplest thing I've seen to look at it from a biblical perspective. So this is put out by the Gospel Coalition, and here is what they list as four main types of fear and anxiety. I can put these on the screen one at a time. So the first one is a God-given emotional response for our benefit. A God-given emotional response for our benefit. So this would be like a reaction to an immediate threat or danger. So like, let's say you're driving down the road and a car swerves into your lane, and you have to react suddenly for that. That initial feeling right there that you get, that's a reaction for our safety, that would kind of fall into this. We're not going to spend much time on this today because I think that we could all agree pretty quickly that in our world we live in today, there's probably a level of healthy fear. Okay? Healthy fear for the sake of our safety. Now, that could easily get distorted, and that would take us into the second type of fear here, and that is a disordered physiological response. So this is one that would include symptoms that would require like a medical condition, or it would most likely involve the need of a therapist or a doctor, professional counselor, or something to help with that. I am not even qualified to speak into that, so we're just going to keep going right past that one and move on to number three. So number three is a natural consequence of sin. So what would be an example of this? Let's say, for instance, that you shoplifted an item, or you cheated on your taxes, and then you have this anxiousness about being caught or found out. We've probably all experienced that to some degree, and we're going to address that even more today, a little briefly, but we're going to hit on that today. But I think that, and again, we can probably all agree that there is this thing called sin in our world, and there are consequences to sin, and that's legitimate. So let's go on to a fourth one, and this is where we're going to hang out more today. And this is a negative responses to God's providential care. Negative response to God's providential care. This is anxiety that occurs in us due to lack of trusting in God, and instead taking matters into our own hands. That's where we're going to spend most of our time today. So we're going to dig into this, but I feel like to do so, and to do it well, we actually need to go back to the beginning. If you're part of this church-wide small group series called Gospel Fluency, you may remember that the gospel is a true story that begins with creation, moves to the fall, continues on to redemption, and then finishes with new creation. We will review this story because it sets a stage for how we deal with our fear and our anxiety. But first, in the midst of that, we have to realize that we all have our own story of origin. You know, when I think back to the pictures that I showed you earlier, I was thinking about the fact that I've never had a bad experience with some of those pictures. Like, for instance, I've never actually fallen off of a high building. I've never been bitten by a poisonous snake or been attacked by a clown. But yet I still feel anxious when I look at some of those pictures, right? Now, what I can say is that my fear of snakes comes from my dad's disdain for snakes. He hated snakes. And he managed to pass that on to me, and I managed to pass that on to my kids. So now my kids are afraid of snakes. It's all part of my story of origin. It's part of their story. Our story of origin is our history that has shaped the way we look at the world, the way we look at God, and the way we look at all of life. It becomes that filter that we process everything through, or if you want to look at it another way, the foundation on which we build our lives and structure our beliefs. The problem is that this filter and foundation actually may be faulty. We may have actually built our lives and belief structures on mistaken perceptions about God, and sometimes are literally outright lies. This might sound a little strong. Let me provide an example, just a hypothetical example, okay? Let's say you grew up in an environment where you could never do anything right. Let's say you're always being criticized and always corrected, and let's just say that that came mostly from your father or the father figure in your life. So now you go along life and you hear about God being your heavenly father. It would be very easy to make an assumption about God that he's constantly criticizing you and you can never be good enough for him. And you would assume that he maybe doesn't even really like you. And then when you start to hear that God is loving and forgiving, your belief structure would lead you to believe that surely that couldn't be for you. Surely he couldn't love you or forgive you. But that's a lie. Because God does love you. And God does forgive. So it's a logical human conclusion, but it doesn't align with the truth of Scripture. So sometimes in our own story of origin, we need to have some reprogramming done or a rebuilding of the foundation that's built on truths and aligns with the gospel story. So let us review this gospel story. And then we'll look into a deeper look of fear and anxiety. So the story starts with creation. God has always existed, and he's the creator of everything, and everything he created was good. This is where it all starts. God created man. He said, this was very good. And then he made woman from man. And then God and the couple communed together in the creation, in the garden, and it was perfect. That was his design. And it's interesting that there was no indication that there was any fear or anxiety in the Garden of Eden prior to the fall. So that poses a question, at least in my mind. So let's say that Adam is walking, you know, hanging out in the garden one day, and a couple of lions come scampering by him, touch him off guard. What does he feel at that moment? Does he feel shocked, surprised, anxiety? I don't know. That's for you to figure out. I honestly don't know the answer. But all we know is that we have no record of any kind of anxiety or fear in the Bible, while things were still in that creation time. What I do know comes in the next section, next part of the story, which is the fall. This perfect harmony of the garden was broken when Adam and Eve believed a lie from Satan over the truth that God had spoken, and they ate from the forbidden tree. In Genesis 3:10, we see this first reference of fear in Scripture. It's where God is walking in the garden after Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree, and God asks Adam, "Where are you?" And Adam answers God saying, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Here we have the first indication of guilt and shame and blame, and even more. All result of that first sin. And that has been passed down to all of us through the sinful nature. From that point on, men and women knew what it meant to be afraid. They knew what it meant to be anxious. And every human since that point has felt the effects. This kind of aligns with that third category I was talking about, of fear, that idea of anxiety being a natural consequence of sin. And actually, Adam and Eve felt it there, and we have all felt the effects. So I must say, in this part of the story, creation story, or the gospel story, without Jesus as Savior, we would live in that fallen state. There would be this grips of fear and anxiety would be what we would expect. That would be normal. Without Jesus, our lives would be without hope, without confidence, without assurance, without trust. Instead, we would find we'd be living in selfishness and anger and hurt and despair and insecurity. But there is another part to the story. And it's called redemption. Because God had a plan. God always had a plan. A way for our destiny of death to be changed to that of eternal life. He, God, in his great love for us, sent his son Jesus into the world to take on the punishment of our sin, to rise victorious over death and to conquer hell so that we could have salvation through Christ. And if we believe him and accept his free gift of salvation, we are called sons and daughters of God, heirs to the kingdom. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide us and help us discern truth from lies. We also have the power, through his power, to overcome sin, to be set free from bondage of shame, and to live our lives with hope of eternity and experience grace and mercy and be filled with the fruits of the Spirit. That takes us to the last part of the gospel story, which is new creation. At Jesus' resurrection, he received a glorified body. And we also at salvation become new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Everything has changed since the resurrection. And one day, we'll all get to experience that if we're in Christ, that new heaven and new earth. So we need to evaluate our story of origin in light of the true gospel story and look for where truths about God might be in opposition to our own perceptions about him and bringing that back into realignment. So getting back into this whole idea of fear and anxiety, I want to focus on a passage in Scripture in Philippians, a very common passage in Philippians chapter 4. But before I do that, I just feel like I need to say one thing. I must say that if in the gospel story, if in your life, you've never stepped into that redemption part of the story, where Jesus Christ died for you, I pray that you would do that by accepting Jesus as your Savior. Because without it, you're not going to be able to experience what it means to be free from fear and anxiety. If you'd like to talk more about that, we can talk about that after the service. I'd love to talk to you about it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Very common scripture here. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, I'm sure that as I read through those verses, it's probably the one that jumps out and kind of draws our attention is verse 6. So that's where I'm going to start this morning with that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we've already discussed that we all feel anxiety and effects of fear, and yet we are commanded to not be anxious. How can it be? Well, I don't believe it doesn't mean you'll never feel an anxious moment again. I think the question is, what will you do when it comes? What will you do when that anxious moment, when that anxiousness comes to you? We have an option that we can treat it the way the world does or to follow it God's way. So let's look at some ways we might deal with this on our own. And it may be helpful to think about some common areas of your life where that cause anxiety. This is like just common stuff, nothing particular. But think about this. These might be things that have caused anxiety in your life. I know that there's been some in mine. How about finances? How about health concerns? How about relationships? That's a broad topic. How about work? Ever have anxiety over your work? Or school? Or concerns around our world? Or politics? Or even this nasty thing called COVID? Tends to bring some anxiety into our world, doesn't it? So here's some ways that we can try to deal with anxiety. So first of all, we can try to control it. So by taking control of our surroundings, like making sure we control everything that's around us so we can try to handle the anxiety around us. Another option might be that we try to conceal it. Using defensive tactics, like anger or power, or maybe even a fight response to anxiety. We actually conceal it under something else. We might try to cover it by putting up emotional shields. Put these shields up so that you can't see my anxiety. It's all covered, okay? Just hiding it. We may try to contain it. So we just kind of withdraw, move into silence, maybe use prescription medications to try to help contain it, maybe self-medications to try to help contain it. We might try to circumvent it. I'm going to avoid everything in my life that could cause anxiety for me. Just going to keep it all away from me. We might try to cut and run. I needed another C word. Cut and run. Some of you are with me. So we kind of act like it isn't there. It's our flight response. We just go. I'm going to get away from it. But all of these are actually coping mechanisms for how we deal with it. And we, and when I say we, I mean me, we are the masters at coping mechanisms. We have figured that part out. Either consciously or subconsciously, we have figured out how to cope with these things based on our story of origin. But that's not what God directs us to do. And when we replace what God tells us to do with our own coping mechanisms, what we're saying potentially is that, God, I don't believe you can really handle this. I got to take care of this myself. I got to figure it out on my own. Look at what God says. He says to not be anxious, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Notice it's not just in the big situations that come to our life, and it's not just in the little things, and we'll handle the big things on our own. It's in every situation. Bring this to God. And we are to bring it to him with prayer and petition. Bring your anxiety to God. Address it straight on by humbly seeking his guidance and assistance in a way that involves thanksgiving. I don't know, that seems pretty straightforward, but it sure doesn't seem very easy. So let's go through this. We start with prayer. This is not a now I lay me down to sleep type prayer. You know what I mean? Okay, you know what I mean by now I lay me down? This is more of a prayer that comes from the depths of our hearts, the ones that are brutally honest, the ones that share what God already knows, but we struggle to put the words. We struggle to say them out loud. And yet he asks us to do that with thanksgiving. Having a thankful heart in the midst of anxiety is not a normal response. But what this is getting to is not so much about being thankful for the anxious thoughts, although that can be good at times because sometimes that anxiousness that comes up inside of us can pushes us towards God. So there is some good to that sometimes. But this is more about being thankful as a means of an expression of our faith. Our declaration that God is in control, not us. It's a recognition that God, about God's sovereignty over all things, and that our trust is in him, and that we are submitting to his plan, even if we don't see it or understand it. It's a deep conviction, and a holding on to the promise of that Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is up to something. This requires sincerely believing, reminding ourselves about the truths of God. Like, for instance, if we look at 1 Peter 5, 7, where he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That is truth. God cares for you. Don't let anybody tell you different. It's true. This is all about who God is and what God does instead of what we can try to do about our situation. This is the gospel. This is what we need to speak over and over to ourselves when things seem out of control. And what I mean when I say it, when things seem out of control, it's when they're out of our control, right? that's when they really feel out of control, is when they're out of our control. But even when things get tough, this is when our faith changes from talk to action. And this is where my struggle is. How about you? Don't answer out loud. I'm just telling you where. Just telling you where I am. So to be clear about this, we are not to ignore anxiety or reason it away or just cope with it, but we're to address it. We're to address it head on and be able to bring it to God in prayer and petition, which may require an honest, focused time of searching our soul, not simply passing over it. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to a way everlasting. We're going to need to take some deliberate steps towards discovery with the Holy Spirit's help by asking some very common questions that would deal with our anxiety. So asking questions and trying to find answers to, like, what's driving this? So what is the source of this anxiety? Or what's under it? Anxiety is usually not the problem in and of itself. Anxiety is a symptom of something else going on in our life. So digging down and finding out what's the root. Or actually, find another question might be to ask, what is this masking itself as? Like, maybe there's something else stirring in me, like anger or control. That's actually anxiety that's coming out in a different way. Or what's it connected to? Maybe there's a wound or a trauma. Maybe something in our story of origin that this is connected to. We need the Holy Spirit's help to figure this out. But we should be asking these kinds of questions. We shouldn't just be automatically default to our coping mechanisms, but we should be asking God and bringing it before Him and allowing the Spirit to show us what that really is. This takes courage. It takes work. We have to walk through this process of opening this door and exposing our heart and soul. That's not easy. So that we can truly receive the love and healing from God that's specifically for each one of us. Fear and anxiety, they keep that door from opening. The fear of hurt or the fear of being vulnerable, or the fear of losing control, these things all just press that door tightly closed. But that door needs to be opened. And surrender is the key that unlocks that door. As we submit our will and our pride and our control, our pain to God, we can unlock that door, we can turn that knob and open that door and see what's behind it. Whatever is behind it needs to be taken to the cross so it can be dealt with. It might require bringing some things into the light. It might require forgiveness or healing or breaking a family sin pattern. These are all things we've talked about in these last couple messages through this series. Challenge you to go back and listen to them again. But what we find as we go through this process is an amazing peace. And what waits at the end is this freedom. It's beautiful. Well, this all sounds pretty heavy, and it is. I understand that. But we need to process through this in light of the rest of the verses we read today. So let's back up a little bit. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. This is the posture that we should be in when we're addressing our anxiety. This idea of the Lord being near is not just about necessarily about the closeness and presence, but it's also about this. The fact that the Lord loves you. He cares for you. He wants to be near to you. Remember we talked about our identity? Remember we talked about who we are in Christ? We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We are redeemed. We are the ones who are uniquely created. The hairs on our heads are numbered. Our inmost thoughts are known. And most importantly, we are the ones for whom God sent His Son, and for whom His Savior died. Our Savior died. The Lord is near. Our church name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us. Allow that to just sink in. Allow the depths of that to flow over you this morning. Here, listen to this. Hear this promise of gospel truth from Isaiah chapter 4:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's the truth of who God is. So may this nearness of God, the nearness of the Lord, truly change your posture. So instead of a head down in shame and hopelessness or a focus on ourselves and what we can do, may our heads be lifted and our focus be on the Lord, our Redeemer, on whose power can conquer fear and anxiety. May we have a change in perspective. We worship together because it changes our perspective. It brings us to focus on our Lord. We didn't put this verse on the scripture, but verse 8, what we just read, gives us some other ways to change our viewpoint. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. It instructs us on how to change our perspective, where our thoughts should be. As this nearness settles in on you, it leads to this point of rejoicing, which is where this passage began. We rejoice in the Lord always. The verse even repeats it. We rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. That's a huge huge exclamation point whenever something like that is repeated in Scripture. Again, this is not something that just comes from our earthly perspective. But as we begin, as we grasp and embrace the goodness of God, and that He is near to each one of us, it should create an overflow of rejoicing. And this is not dependent on our circumstances, by the way. The fact still remains that the Lord is near, even if our circumstances are difficult, or even if we're going through times of anxiety. He is still near. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our circumstances may change. As a matter of fact, our circumstances will change, but our God never changes. Our circumstances are never bigger than our God. Never bigger than our God. So our outward expression to the world around us should be joy and gentleness to everyone. This is a high calling. And sometimes it comes by deliberate choice. You may have heard the expression around here, choose joy. Sonia, in her cancer journey, latched on to that, choose joy. Not because the circumstances were easy. The circumstances were rough. But a deliberate expression, a declaration of stepping out of who's in control. It should also flow from the abundance of our heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Joy should be a natural outpouring from us. Let's turn our attention to the end of this section that we read and look at verse 7. And see what awaits us as we follow this idea of obedience and bringing our anxiety before God. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. A total opposite of anxiety. It's actually the absence of fear and anxiety. In our world today, there are many prescriptions given to people to try to help offset anxiety. People are looking and trying to find so many ways to try to find peace for their souls. And here, God is promising to provide peace if we just believe in Him and follow in His ways. This is another gospel truth. And it's not something we get anywhere else. This peace is not just that idea of like absence of conflict. And it's not connected to our circumstances. Remember, if you were here last week, Pastor Steve talked about this, and he talked about this idea of shalom. It includes restoration, includes wholeness. This is what we're talking about when we talk about peace. It's outside of our comprehension and understanding. What's really cool about this, if you look two verses ahead into verse 9, you're going to see that the God of peace will be with you. So not only do you receive peace from God, but we also receive the God of peace. That's pretty cool. And keep this in mind. The God of peace is never anxious. He's never anxious. By name and by definition, he is peace. And anxiety doesn't exist. He's not caught off guard by anything. He's not worried about how to handle something. He's not nervously sitting up there wondering what he's going to do next. It's a God of peace for you and for me. Whatever it is, he's got this. Additionally, it says in that verse that this peace that we receive not only displaces and dissolves the anxiety, but it will also guard or be a protection against future invasions of anxiety. That's even more cool. And again, that should bring us to a point of rejoicing. So if you're tracking today, you've heard me talk about joy. You've heard me talk about peace. You've heard me talk about gentleness. These words starting to sound familiar at all to you? Galatians chapter 5 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. This is nothing that we can do on our own. It does not come naturally to us. It is of the Spirit. So I'd like to sum up these couple verses in a different way. I would like to read verses 6 and 7, this whole idea about anxiety, through the Message, a paraphrase of the Bible. But I want you just to hear this from a different perspective, because maybe it'll land with you better than what I've said so far. So listen to verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4 out of the Message version. Do not fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Interesting way of putting those verses. So fear and anxiety in our lives, overcoming fear and anxiety in our lives. How do we do that? Quick summary, go back to the beginning. Evaluate your story of origin versus a true story of the gospel. Make sure that you're looking at your situation through the truths of the gospel and not through your own story of origin. If you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, by the way, that's a requirement if you want to receive the peace of God. That's part of it too. So go back to the beginning. Second, remember the truths of the gospel. Remember these gospel truths. Rattled off a bunch of them today. Remember who you are. Remember your identity. Remember whose you are. Remember that your circumstances are never bigger than your God. Remember that God loves you and his promises are true. Remember that the Lord is near. These are gospel truths. And finally, you need to take a step when it comes to anxiety. You need to act. You need to move forward in faith. When we move in faith, we actually build on our foundations of truth. When we act in fear, we actually tear down, or we actually build on our foundation of lies instead of on truth. But when we act in faith, it's on truth. We need to make a choice. We need to act. And you can't act on both. You can't act on faith and fear. You can't do both of them at the same time. You got to pick one. So I'm challenging you to choose to act in faith, to believe God in your situation, and believe that over sharpening your coping mechanisms. Part of this acting is bringing your anxiety to God in humble prayer with thanksgiving. And remember to turn the key to unlock some of this is that point of surrender. Surrendering our will, surrendering our strength to God. And finally, you actually need to open a door. You need to turn a knob, you need to open a door. And you need to see what's under that anxiety in your life and bring that before God. As we close today, here's what we're going to do, something pretty simple. We're going to have somebody play some music. Because, again, that helps to direct us towards God. But I'm just going to ask you to do something very simple. I'm going to ask you to do a simple little test. And this, I hope, would help to determine how you'd respond today. And the simple test is, I want you just to think about your life and let the Holy Spirit talk to you about this and evaluate, do you have peace in your life? Or, a better way to put it, are there areas in your life where you don't have peace? That's going to be your test. So go beyond the facade that you put on to come in here to make sure everybody thinks you're okay. Not that. Get rid of that. But look past all that and say, does your soul feel peace? Or does it feel restless and anxious? And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. We can go ahead and play. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. So here's what we're going to do towards this response. If you want to pray into this idea of God's peace for your life, then I'm going to invite you to come up to the front. It's a step of faith. It's a taking that step of acting and saying, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to forget about what other people might think. I'm going to leave that behind me. I'm going to lift up my head. I'm going to focus on my God, and I'm going to move towards Him. This is an act, a step to do that. And I'm going to invite you to come up here while I'm praying in a little bit. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. But here's what we're going to have you do. If you would just like to pray into this, you'd like to be alone in your time of doing that. You just want to say, I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to step towards this, God. I don't know what it looks like yet. I'm willing to step towards it, but I want to take this first step. And you just want to be by yourself and God with that, then I want you to come over to this area. Anywhere, front row here is empty. There's coming to these steps. Just stay in this area. And just come and pray. But take that step and bring that before God. If you're longing for that peace in your life, and you're longing for someone to help you process through that, you're saying, I want somebody to walk this journey with me, or I want somebody to pray with me, or I don't even know what to say next, I'm going to invite you over to this side of the church, to these steps or to this front row that are open. They come up here, and if you come up this way, there's people that are already set up to come and pray with you. So it's your choice. You may remain in your seat. You may come to the front. Side over here by the piano, by yourself. Side over here by the drums to be prayed with by someone else. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a time of prayer. I'm actually going to ask you to stand during this time of prayer. So if you just stand, please. I'm going to pray over us. And as I am praying, if you're feeling the Holy Spirit prompting you to come up here, I want you to move out of your seat and come to one of these sides as I am praying. Because when I'm done praying, I'm going to dismiss everybody. So this is, the response is going to take place during the prayer time. All right? Let's pray together. Father, we believe that you are near. You are in our midst, and not only present in our midst here, but you're also caring for each one individually right now in your unique way. You are near. And Holy Spirit, we are inviting you, just as Cody prayed earlier, we're inviting you to move among us, to help us to see what we don't see on our own. And put a finger on those things that might need to be brought before you. Lord, I pray for our family here, Lord, that as we process right now, we even maybe even stress out about the idea of what it means to surrender to you, or to even think about this idea of digging deep into opening a door that opens up things that we probably don't even want to see. Lord, I pray that you would instill upon us even very deeply today your gospel truth. You love us. You care about us. You are near to us. You died for us. You took on all the sin for all of our sin. You took them all on for yourself. You took them all on to you, yourself, Jesus. And you took them to the cross. You conquered them. This is truth. There is nothing that goes on inside of us that you don't know. This is truth. And there's nothing we can say that's going to cause you to love us any less. This is truth. Lord, set us towards action, towards taking that step. Meet us here today, I pray. And Lord, as you meet us, wherever we are, may we sense your presence. And I pray for your peace. Your peace that's not dependent upon circumstances, but your peace that transcends all our understanding. We can't even fathom it. I pray that it would settle upon us according to your word today. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here. As we go from this place, may we do so with joy on our lips, with gentleness in our conversation, and with a new action step towards always bringing our anxiety to you and exchanging it for your peace. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. All praise, all honor, all thanksgiving goes to you, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.